Our scripture for this morning is Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. You can find it on page 741 in the Pew Bible, or just after Luke 17, verse 10 in your own Bibles. It's really up to you. Luke 17, 11 to 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The passage we have before us this morning is unusual. As we have been reading in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, and he is developing disciples on his way to the cross. Most of these chapters deal with one of two things: either teachable moments through parables, or challenging moments while engaging religious leaders. This portion of Scripture is neither of those. It is an apparent interruption by outcast, sickly individuals. But instead of just moving on and saying, "I have things to do, I have places to go, I have people to see, I have teaching to do, I have confrontation to address," Jesus stops. And in these passages, we gain an insight into the heart of Jesus. And ultimately, we gain an insight into what our hearts should contain. As Jesus and his entourage are meandering along the borders of Samaria and Galilee, they are stopped by 10 men. The first thing we know is that all these men, they all shared the same condition. And that condition is that they lived an ostracized existence. We know that they are not with Jesus. They are not walking in Jesus' path. They are not disciples of Jesus, because it says, as he was on his way, he entered a village and he was met by these 10 leprous men. They were also not all Jews, as we're going to find out. Some were on the Galilee side, they were Jewish. Some were on the Samaritan side, they were Samaritans. And Samaritans were multicultural. They were Jewish in some regards, They were pagan in some regards. And they fit really nowhere because they were neither Jew nor Gentile. We also know that these men, while not being with Jesus, had leprosy. And leprosy was, still is, a physically painful condition. It is an emotionally draining condition because you, in that situation, could not work. You had to beg. You had to seek the compassion of others. And it was socially separating. And we see that by the very fact that Luke includes that they were standing at a distance. They were shouting to him from afar. And that was the appropriate stance. They were not to touch anyone. They were not to be in the same area. Before social distancing, there was social cleansing. And this is an aspect of the fact that if you are unclean, you are not to associate or be in the same space as those who are clean. So they shout to him from a distance. Ultimately, they could not take part in the community. They were on the outskirts of the regions. They were standing in the borders between Galilee and Samaria. They were in no man's land because no one would welcome them. But for as ostracizing as their existence was, they were still approachable by Jesus. This condition of leprosy also enabled them to have the condition of being approached by Jesus. They could not go to God, so God came to them. Jesus is traveling on the outskirts of the promised land. And he enters a small village in the middle of nowhere. And he takes the time on his way to the cross to change lives. This is no coincidence that he chose this community. It is providence that they were unnoticed and uncared for, insignificant, and they might have thought that they were unworthy. But God made a way and said, "Today I am going to talk to you." In a couple of weeks, we'll talk to another person who thinks they're unworthy. Jesus interrupts and says, "Today I'm meeting with you. Don't ever think that you are beyond the reach of Jesus." Jesus was there specifically to interact with those hurting and hungering people. And he does the same today. So they shared the same condition. They all shouted the same concern. They see Jesus and they call out to him in a loud voice. They raise a loud voice. And they shout, "Master, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have mercy. Have leniency. Help us. Care for us. Ease our pain. Do what you can because you are the master, the head of the house." And maybe they were thinking, "You are influential and you have a following. Maybe they understood that he was the master of the house of Israel. Maybe they understood that he was what he promised to be. All they know, all that we know, is that they saw Jesus for who he was, and they sought relief from one they believed could grant it. One of the interesting things about this passage, Jesus doesn't do anything physically. He isn't even in the same, he's in the same space, but they are far off. And he says to them, show yourself to the priests. That's it. And in this world of Zoom and social media and things like that, we may think to ourselves that we are disconnected. But the fact is that God can reach us even if we are not in the same physical proximity. That we can pray for one another and pray with one another over digital means, over phone lines, over letters. We don't have to be in the same physical space. Jesus says, show yourselves. Now, the role of the priest was simply to confirm that they were no longer infectious and unclean. The priests never provided a cleansing. The priests never offered to provide mercy and care. They were simply to confirm that they were worthy of belonging. And by leaving, these 10 men anticipated that something would happen between the time Jesus spoke to them and the time that they arrived in the temple, which is not obviously all that far away. We are getting close to Jerusalem. They received physical and social healing as they walked away. And this is where our record might have ended. This is where Jesus moves on and shares a parable, or confronts a Pharisee, or talks to his disciples about the need for cleansing. They asked for mercy, and Jesus provided it. They asked for care, and they were provided it. They were healed. And isn't God good to relieve the suffering of so many? That's where the story could have ended. But that's not all there is. Because in the midst of this healing, we see that they all showed their true colors. One of them, verse 15 says, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. One man gave glory and thanks. He turned back. And the first thing he did was to praise God in a loud voice. His plea, his cry for pity and mercy was with a loud voice. And his praise was with a loud voice. And his plea and his praise were equally passionate. And I wonder for myself, and I wonder for all of us, if we're the same. Or are our cries way more voluminous than our celebrations? Are our prayers as vocal as our answers to prayer? After he praised God, or while he was praising God, he fell at Jesus' feet. Literally, it says he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. He bowed, and as an act of worship, fell at Jesus' feet. He responds to the activity of God through the works of Christ. God's divine favor is initiated by the Father and is enacted by the Son. And he says, thank you. And we need to recognize that sometimes God uses us, and we ought to be glorifying God and thanking the ones that God puts in our lives to provide compassion. Now, 9 others did not thank God, did not thank Jesus, did not lift up a loud voice, did not return. I have 9 reasons why. I want to see if this is real before I say anything. I want to see if this will last before I say anything. The next time I'm in the area, I will say something. Maybe I didn't really have leprosy after all. I think I was getting better anyway. I gave glory to the priests, and that should be enough. All he did was tell me where to go. I really did everything. Any religious leader could have done the same thing. I was fine with my leprosy. He chose to clean my wounds. And we have to ask ourselves, do we ever fall into that trap? Where we think God didn't do anything. I just came to a realization on my own. The thankful one receives a greater blessing, though. Jesus says, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? And then he says to this healed man who returns, rise and go. Your faith has made you well, or your faith has delivered you. All 10 received the physical blessing of healing. All 10 of them were restored physically. And for many, that's enough. One received the greater spiritual blessing of deliverance and wholeness. We respond to God's favor with unfettered faith in him. Our servant in a sentence is this: the favor of God will only get you so far, but faith in God will deliver you. There are times when every one of us is like the 9, grateful for the gifts of today, of our social and our physical healing. But the true gift of God afforded through his Son is spiritual healing, in addition to our physical and social needs. They were restored in this realm. But only one was reconciled with God for the next. The favor of God will only get you so far, but faith in God will deliver you. I encourage you to allow the favor of God to fuel your faith in God. Recognize and appreciate the things of this world, but understand that they are just for this world. And anticipate what is to come. There are all sorts of miracles even today happening. People are healed of diseases. People are able to overcome addictions. Great and wonderful physical and social blessings abound. And every single physical and social miracle, and those who receive them, ends with death. There is no one who received a miracle cure that does not ultimately die of something. Maybe that, maybe something else. God's favor is for the moment. Appreciate that. But use it to anticipate what God is desiring for you forever. That the favor of God will only get you so far. Yes, all 10 of those men were healed. All 10 of those men were restored to their social standing. And all 10 of them died of something at some point. And one of them, we know, was delivered, was restored. Rise up and go. And we're unsure if it's go with me, it's go to the temple, or it's go. Live your life in faith, because your trust in me has made you whole. I guess ultimately the question is, do you trust Jesus? Not just with your physical and social needs. He can meet those. Do you trust him with your life and your death and your future? The favor of God will only get you so far, but faith in God will deliver you. Shall we pray?